Okay, thank you. So this is Pat Williams, October 26th, calling for our monthly forum that we do with the Institute for Life Coach Training. We thank those of you who get our newsletter or blogged or whatever and decided to show up for this. I know we've got 70 or 80 signed up for this call, and many of you are here live. Many of you will listen to the recording. I always try to make these topics not only informational, but have something that you can use to maybe light a match under your practice, get some different kinds of clients, different ways of doing business, put a new energy into your coaching business. And I also realize some of you may already be successful coaches. You may do coaching in two or three other things, multiple professions. But I think what I'm going to talk about today is a new opportunity for many of you to think outside the box, and there are ways to not only work with clients that you may get, that may already have, but what I really am going to suggest by both of these methods that I'm talking about today is it's a good way to get started with clients and to offer as an option. What I'm talking about, first of all, we'll talk about the visioning retreats. So when I got my started in coaching, a lot of what I did, I mean, I actually built my practice pretty fast because I was a psychologist for 15 years, and I just kind of let everybody in town know I was down doing this, and all those people who didn't want to come see me as a shrink all of a sudden thought it was kind of cool to talk to me as a coach. So in 6 months, I had 16 paying clients and was doing good. Then I moved from Colorado to Florida, and after those clients kind of finished up their progress and we said goodbye, my practice started dwindling. So I was in a new town, in a new relationship, in a fairly new profession, and was really starting over again with people at the local level. So I started everything you would think of to get visible. As we teach at ILCT, marketing really is you got to be visible. Quit being invisible. Let people see you and know what you do, whether you talk at Rotary clubs or you take people out to breakfast or you go to networking events or you do little seminars. And so what I chose to do that worked is I got, first of all, with a local community college. Now it's a four-year college, Daytona State College. And heard about their business forum they were doing for business leaders in town to not only know who they could hire, but also to help them be successful in their business. And I created a group called the Sounding Board, which I trademarked at the time, and did a half-day visioning retreat with eight presidents or CEOs of new companies that were relatively small. So they might have had a $3 to $5 million budget. They weren't just startups, but they didn't have the money to hire, you know, lawyers and boards of directors and lots of consultants and that. So to make a long story short, I did the half-day visioning retreat with them, which included questions like, what do you think you're bringing to this company? And by the way, these were non-competing businesses, so they could talk confidentially and openly amongst each other because they weren't in the same business. They were in different types of business. So what do you have that you're bringing to this? How did you pick this business? What's your strength? What does your company offer that's working really well? What do you and your company offer that's not working well? What's struggling for you? And then what would you like to invite into your business in the coming year if you could make it happen? So that's what a half-day visioning retreat went into, and I could have easily made it a whole day. But what I did was a half day at the beginning, followed by 6 months of group coaching, twice a month for an hour, and then a half day at the end to wrap it up. So we kind of bookended visioning retreats and then cementing their goals and their progress. That can be topical. I mean, you can create vision retreats on just creating the ideal business, who's their customer. You don't have to be a marketing expert. But you actually have each one of the participants help each other because they've all got ideas that they could offer for suggestions to the other business that's not related to theirs. Or it may be related to theirs, but it's not directly the same. So you've got professionals in a room together over 6 months talking talking about that. And we did the coaching by phone because it was more convenient for everybody. So just to reiterate, we did a half-day visioning retreat with 8 people, followed by 6 months of coaching twice a month for an hour, followed by another half-day at the end. Now, I know somebody's going to talk about, okay, well, how does that work financially? Well, back then, I was charging about $150 to $200 an hour. I'm higher than that now. But I didn't call it hourly. So the half-day retreats together form a full day. Let's say that came to $1,500. And then if you add on $200 a month for them to be in the group times 8 people, that's $1,600 a month to me for 6 months. Not bad for 4 hours on the phone per month. So for them, it was $1,200 and $1,500, $2,700 for the whole six-month program. Multiply that by 6 to 8 people, and you can see the math, and you can also see the synergy that occurs with such a process. Now, I'll open it up to questions in a little bit, but I want to talk about one other part of that. Now, individual clients, you can do the same thing, and it's quite inspiring and motivational for a client. So let's say you're offering phone coaching, or if you do it in-person coaching, I would suggest that one of your menu choices be that some clients find it very worthwhile to do a visioning retreat or a life design retreat or whatever you want to call it in the beginning of our relationship. And you'll have clients who think that's a good deal. They'll fly into your town. They pay for their own hotel. You go somewhere and spend a day, even starting with the Wheel of Life. The Wheel of Life could take a whole day if you ask lots of prayerful questions and made plans for each one of those. And then, of course, you can do some of the values exercises. There's other techniques and ideas that I'm sure people on this call can share with what goes into that. Storyboards, dream vision boards that they can make with cut out pieces of magazines and photographs and pictures. So you can do that one-on-one. You can do that with a small group. And it really then gets the party going, followed by, I say, at least 6 months of coaching. I tell most of my clients that if you're really going to feel you're getting something done, my experience says you need to coach for a minimum of 6 months. Now, I don't require that. If you feel that you're done or you've got what you've needed in 3 months, that's your business, but that's the kind of client I try to attract. Okay, so let's stop there. I'll talk about the shadow coaching part later. So I've discussed 2 ways of doing this as a visioning retreat with a small group. And when I say visioning retreat, it can be goal setting, business design, group sharing. You can give it some sexy name, lighting the fire and keeping it going or something like that. And then the coaching for 6 months in a group would be 2 one-hour calls. Individually, I think it can be 2 one-hour or 3 40-minute calls. Either way, it's 2 hours, 2 hours a month. And then followed by another retreat at the end if you can do that. So I have had, over the 25 years of my coaching, clients fly me to where they are and do this. Some have flown me to their vacation resort. If you get a client with a condo on the beach somewhere or a place in Long Island, it's kind of nice to have them fly you up and pay you, and then you can hang around and enjoy the environment for a while. Or have them fly to where you are, make it easy for you and easy for them to come down and stay in a local resort, hotel. I mean, you can give them all kinds of choices and charge them the daily fee for getting going. In addition to those ideas, you can have a topical meeting. Lately, I've been trained in the thing called the coaching game that I've mentioned on a couple of these calls that is a photographic card deck set that I'm going to be teaching in February for ILCT students on how to use that with clients to get different points of view and different – that's what it's called, actually, the coaching game from points of view, Y-O-U. It's a fabulous process I'm having a lot of fun with now. To have people work in different ways with the photographs to bring out their non-ordinary learning, kind of the right brain sort of thinking. I'll explain more about that at the end. But does anybody have any thoughts or questions of what I laid out here in the first 10 minutes about how that may or may not work for you? Confusions? Yes, that works. It's exciting. I already do that, or I don't do that. Let's just hear from some people. I think we have a pretty clean line. And Amy, you'll have to unmute people, and we'll see what that's like.
One second, Pat.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, I didn't warn Amy I was going to do that. But so I don't hear a lot of noise on the line. If people can speak up with a question or comment, state your name and where you're from and what your question is or comment.
This is Phoebe Van Ham. I went to a day seminar last weekend that was very cheap. It was $25. It was given by Ethical Humanist Society in Chicago, and it was about visioning and creating your little poster with your magazine words and so on.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I thought, well, that's kind of hokey, but I did it, and it helped me for 2 weeks solid, and I've shared it with clients, and they love it. So I think this sounds really good.
Yeah, I can tell you I've done many of those, what you can call a storyboard or a vision, a dream chart. You know, you do it on a big cardboard paper, and you do cutouts, and you draw art, and you put glittery stuff on it. It seems kind of, every time I go to a retreat and making me do that, I go, oh, God, this reminds me of first grade. I can't color within the lines. I hate art. But it's just yours, you know, and I can't always bring them with me, but nowadays you can snap a picture with your iPhone and have it with you. I just did one last week at a retreat, and it's amazing how much what is on that board is on my mind, and I'm now doing the steps to move the progress forward. So They are magical.
I do wonder a little bit about your charges for if you don't do business and executive coaching. Then I'm wondering.
Well, oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I gave you was, I mean, I was already a pretty established coach even in the beginning and charged that much as a psychologist. But if you're just starting out and you can get somebody to pay you $500 for the day and then, you know, a couple hundred bucks for coaching, I don't know that you want to work less than that, but it depends. You don't want to, you know, cheapen your services. What you want to do is attract the right clients.
Right.
And I'll tell you the one secret is if you get groups, if you do groups, whether it's you could do a weekly group at some yoga center or some church or something like that on a topic of bettering your life. And if you get people to pay you $20 and 10 people show up, you're making $200. So Nothing wrong with that.
Nope. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else has a comment or a question about the visiting retreat idea?
Well, it's Phoebe again. I hope somebody else has one, but I was going to say I had no idea what I was going to do it on. But you start looking through the magazines, and one of the captions was Living the Inspired Life. I said, oh, that sounds like that goes up on the top. And then I see another little thing. It says, is life getting you down? And then a thing that says, use your build yourself up, and then I cut out whatever was there because it wasn't appropriate, and I put the word creative in. Use your your creative to get. And as I looked at it, and pretty soon I had a bunch of feet in the left corner, and it was exciting because it was talking about dancing for life, but it was talking about making yourself better. And believe me, everybody goes through times when you need to be lifted up. So it just felt like it was really, like it had volume and momentum. And I look at it every day.
So anyway. if you're the coach planning such a retreat and planning such a vision board, you want to be in charge of kind of setting the context. So you're going to say, we're going to be creating, like right now we're almost in November, right? So I'm doing a talk at a yoga center coming up in December called Out with the Old, In with the New. Everybody's going to talk about goals for 2016. Well, I'm going to do it way differently. And it's going to be using those photographic cards, and then in a subsequent follow-up, we're going to be doing the vision board. So in the month of December, they'll have two meetings that will help them find out what did they like about 2015 or what's going well for them. What do they want to leave behind in 2015? You know, stuff might have happened or things might have been upsetting. What do you want to leave behind? And what do you want to create or invite for yourself in 2016? And so they pull the cards and do something like that. Or you can just have them look for pictures. Or you can have them write words. You can make a little album of what they're up to. So if you, the coach, create the context, then all you have to do is, like a coach, ask powerful questions. You don't have to lecture. You have to get people discussing what they want, what they don't want, what's the process for getting further down their path, where are they stuck. You can start using the skills I've taught you in other classes on this call, using metaphors. You know, maybe there's a – what metaphor comes to mind when you think of where you are right now and where you want to get to? So be as creative as you want. But I'm just – the overall context here is visioning retreats, whether it's with an executive client that is hiring you on his or her own or the company has referred them to coaching, it's always good to offer this. And somebody wrote a question in, I forget who it was, but does this apply to other than business or executive? Oh, absolutely. I mean, it could be for life coaching. It can be for wellness coaching, you know, just changes that you want to make in the time with a coach and where do you want to get started. So this helps really get depth in the beginning. Because if you're starting with a client and you get their welcome packet and you spend an hour and a half of the first call, you've got pretty good connection. But imagine what would happen if you suggested that, well, in the first month together, let's plan this one-day retreat, and that'll really supercharge us for the next 6 months. So that's what I'm asking you to consider.
So you I like it. I want to know where to get people. Where do you get them? Who do you tell?
Sorry, I don't have that book. Where you get people is, who do you know that doesn't know you're coaching and can let them know that?
All right.
You do have to get visible. The best way for marketing is to find centers of influence or what I call rainmakers. So in your town or in the circle that knows you, maybe it's across the country or the world, who do you need to inform about what you're doing and that you're looking for clients who, blank, fill in the blank. So the kinds of professionals that will run across people that often benefit from coaching are CPAs, lawyers, therapists, yoga centers, people that are involved in self-help, self-growth, personal development. So that's where you want to market. You're not going to be able to get in the door of Hewlett Packard or what, or you know, Apple if you don't know somebody. So
right.
Start
okay.
Local and then let it spread.
Okay.
Somebody else. And I haven't heard anybody hang up, so I know you're thinking. Mm. I know you've got a comment or a question of, ooh, I can't do this, or I don't think, you know, how do I do this?
Pat, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. I'm Mel from New York City, and question, your wheel of life, the use of the wheel and of life, I take it you're saying that's at the pretty much the beginning of the relationship?
Yes. Yes.
Why?
Well, because it's got 8 to 10 categories of a person's life that can lead to a long discussion of each section of that pie, even though they all relate. I mean, it's a simple tool, But it's not one of those assessments that people have to take and are full of data. I think it's a great if I have used it, have it up on the board the whole time, and then we make little notes. So given what we just talked about, where does that fit on your wheel of life? Maybe we'll go up and make a note on the wall. So you've got health, you've got family, friendships, fun, work, location, home, community, and then leave a couple of blanks because they might think of something else, like personal development or whatever.
I want to use this. I'm doing a seminar, a conference on, I'm a lawyer, Lawyers in Transition. Lawyers in Transition is the title, and I'm on their committee. And I thought of using the Wheel of Life also very much at the beginning, not in the ways that you're talking about, but in the way of helping the lawyer, helping the client have an understanding while looking at the Wheel of Life whether or not there are influences, major influences from the Wheel of Life that are having a, if you will, a negative in a sense.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That,
yes.
A negative influence about going on. Like what, you know, you say you want to, you're a lawyer in transition, you want to move, et cetera. Well, what about your life? Are there life situations that are precluding, that are really the reason and not the idea of your transitioning, but really are the reasons for you not being happy and looking to leave?
Yeah, I think you're right on target. In fact, I would tell you that for 3 years I specialized in working with attorneys on a lot of what you discussed because there was a firm in Orlando, you can actually look them up, called Atticus Online, named after Atticus Finch, of course. Atticus Online, and they do training for lawyers to learn how to work smarter, not harder. So how to get rid of your D clients that frustrate you and never pay you, and how to get more A and B clients who you like working with and do pay you.
Right.
So then I did the 1 year of coaching with the lawyers after they did their 2-day seminar, and we worked a lot on what you just discussed, and we also created a wheel of business. So not only is there the Wheel of Life, but what about the Wheel of Business? What there's marketing, there's administration, there's record keeping, you know, all the things that they may do well or they may not do well.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was tied to making sure you've got, and this is part of a retreat, what are their top 5 values? What are their top 5 strengths? And you can get these online, you know, StrengthsFinder 2.0, AuthenticHappiness.org, the values clarification that we use, values card sort that we use at ILCT. So that could be a big part of the day.
Yeah.
And then the question becomes, the question to anybody on any topic is, how does this fit into your life purpose and your values? If you're saying yes to this, like you want to move, are you drawn to this move within your values and your purpose, or do you feel like somebody else wants you to move?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the nose.
Yeah, bingo. All right, good idea. Go for it.
Don't kick me out.
You might have to find the right language to use. I mean,
right.
I mean, you can call it a life wheel, a wheel of life, a personal a personal life circle, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
you know,
got it.
It's and I even jokingly say, now, trust me, this isn't like, in fact, in my book, I call it the, now I'm going to blank on the name, what do you call the Indian meditative circles that you, oh my gosh, those colorful mandalas.
Yeah.
So I call this the magical mandala, and I say the only reason I say that is to give it more magical power. It's just a wheel. You know, so it is a circle. It's a piece of the pie. Okay. So any other comments from people on the idea of a retreat at the beginning for either groups or individuals?
Deborah.
Yes, Deborah, I hear your voice.
Yes, I think it's a great idea, actually, because in other coaching classes I've taken and, you know, just as powerful classes as I've taken at your school, but I've taken other coaching classes with smaller groups, and we've done visioning, and I'm blown away by it. quite frankly. And we've done visioning in a lot of different ways. I also use your wheel. I use it all the time, every time I speak, or every time I'm speaking, I should say, in small groups. I don't use it when I speak in large groups. But it's very powerful. I call mine the wheel, the balance wheel. And I, you know, and it doesn't matter what you call it. And sometimes I'll change the spokes depending on what audience I'm speaking to or working with. But I think what I'm finding right now is that everybody is trying to figure out their purpose, and everybody is in transition of some kind. And I think the you're absolutely right. When we start working with clients and we haven't figured out all the other things that are going on in their life that we can't possibly know about, the wheel and the visioning is so powerful, because later, as other things come up in their conversations with you, you have, you already have an inkling of something else that's pulling them in a different direction, and you have an idea of what more powerful questions you can ask about that.
Right. Well said. And I would also say something I've learned to use lately in my vocabulary is, I believe people are looking for purpose, but it's also become an overused term. So in coaching, I say a lot of our conversations are about meaning making, how to find meaning in what you're doing, both for money, for love, for health, health, wealth, love, and happiness. I mean, those four categories sum up our lives, right? Health, wealth, love, and happiness. So meaning making is asking those questions of your client, and how does this relate to your overall calling or the meaning you're seeking, or the gaps in that meaning.
Right.
And we're working with people, unless you're working with teenagers and 20-somethings, we're working with people who have an inkling of their purpose. They're not just on the path wondering what the heck, right? They've got some ideas. So I think the biggest service in coaching is to keep it simple in terms of assessments. You don't need to do a Myers-Briggs and a 16-PF and a FIRO-B and all that stuff and give them the information. You can do a Wheel of Life, you can do a Value Sort, and you can do a Strength Finders and go from there.
Great idea. Thank you.
Yeah. Somebody else had a comment before that.
This is Candace. I am wondering about moving to a new community and trying to put yourself in the right places to become visible, and then how to get free or low-cost venues to do your retreats at.
And you're wondering if I have any tips on that, or are you just wondering about
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Well, once again, I'm not a marketing machine, so I would just tell you generically is to seek out other professionals who do retreats. What kind of center are you looking for? You know, you can use rooms in libraries, rooms in churches, rooms in yoga centers, hotels. If people buy the lunch, you get the room for free. So you have to kind of figure out what kind of environment you want, and then where are the people that you can find. If you're moving to a new town, it's going to take you a while to build up some street visibility to know where are the groups. Like in our town, we have an entrepreneur night, which has become kind of a national phenomenon. And my town's only, it's less than 100,000 people, but there's 200 people that show up at these entrepreneur nights. And these are all people either with startup business, or they're wanting to offer services to different people, or they're just learning how to connect with other professionals. If you go to something like that and pick up business cards, you know, you're not there to give out your business cards necessarily. You will, of course, but you want to pick up theirs and then write them and tell them you're putting together some sort of group up on designing your life for 2016 or whatever. I mean, you're going to have to get some coaching or some mentoring on what is it you really want to create, and then and start small. I mean, even if you only have two or three people show up, that's kind of like your test market.
Well, that's a great thought, too.
Yeah.
Going somewhere and not thinking so much about your own cars and your own elevator speech, but getting people that you can follow up with later or invite.
Yeah, you want to be of service. You don't want to just say, I'm looking for clients. You know, if you come off being of service, of course people will say, well, what do you do? And you can say, I'm new in town, but I've been a coach. I moved here from so-and-so, and what I do is, and then that's your elevator speech.
Yeah.
But go from there. So I heard somebody else wanting to make a comment.
Yeah, Pat, this is Deborah again. I was just going to make a comment. I do a lot of networking, and I've learned that handing out my business card doesn't do me a lot of good.
No.
But as you said, getting other people's business cards and sending them a note. But one of the ways that I have found that I have gotten more speaking engagements and more groups from is actually when I have volunteered for charities.
There you go.
When I go to a charity, like there's the Children's Museum of Boca, or there's Florence Fuller House, there's all these different charities that are looking for services. I'm also a jazz singer.
Ooh.
So a lot of times I volunteer to do that for their event and come in somehow on the back door. Now, I'm not doing this to gain clients. I'm doing this to build relationships with other people.
Right.
And these are all business owners, usually entrepreneurs that are volunteering for these charities. And so without even trying to, women are finding out more about me and asking me about my services.
There you go. That's part of being visible. So, yeah, and I love that you're a jazz singer because you could do a whole thing on the jazz of life, hitting the high notes, you know?
There you go. Great idea.
That was terrible. Terrible.
It works in Florida, maybe not New York. I don't know.
Yeah, it would work in Florida.
Anyway, so before we're wrapping this up, let me tell you about another nuance of this that I call shadow coaching, and I put that also in the description of the class. I'm not talking about Jungian shadow, the deep, dark shadow where we hide our stuff that we might be ashamed of or guilty of, and also we do hide the stuff that we aspire to create but we haven't shared anybody. So the shadow is not evil. The shadow is where we put our stuff that needs some light shined on it occasionally. I'm actually writing a book about that called Naked Living, Discovering Your Authentic Self, which is about finding the right place, the right time, and the right person to share your emotional nakedness with. You obviously don't do it with everybody any more than you would be naked everywhere. We do have our boundaries, and we need them. So in shadow coaching in the corporate world, which is mostly where I do this, and I was trained by a woman in Canada who does this coaching with high levels of government in both American government and the Canadian government. I mean, really, she can't even tell me who. But when she's hired, she is walking side by side with the person down the hall, in their office, in their meeting. They can call her 24/7. So she's built a super niche in that. But here's how I use it, and you all can. If you get a client that works for a corporation, and again, you don't have to have a Fortune 500. You know, there's only 500 of those. It might be a small nonprofit. It might be a State Farm agency that's got a regional office. Who knows? But somebody who can let you come and shadow them, well, let me rephrase that, not let you come, have you come as part of the contract. And this is the way it works. If I coach a lot of people with a couple of government agencies in D.C., and my contract is always I start with a full day of shadowing. So they fly me in, I stay at a hotel, I go to the person's place of business, and I simply am part of their day. I sit in their office. I want it to be a day where they have staff meetings. I want it to be a day where I listen in on the phone calls. And I mean, not listen in on the other end. And of course, I don't have top secret clearance, but I did some of this in an agency called NSA, which stands for No Such Agency. They don't exist, right? But the way that works with any agency, even if it's, you know, Food and Drug Administration or whoever, is you're coaching an executive they want to improve or is in transition, as somebody said, between one job and a promotion, or maybe it's a lateral movement within the company. If you shadow them for the day, and then you take a lunch break, and you take little snippets of time in the hallway to give feedback. And then you do 6 months of phone coaching, followed by another day of shadowing at the end, which ends in a full report that is done with the client's knowledge, because the contract is for, we want improvement in this, 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 and this. But we might get improvement in other things in their life and their health, or maybe they want to quit the damn job and they didn't tell their boss. We can coach about anything, but the only report shows is what they contracted to be the topics of coaching. So here's an example of what would take place in a shadow coach. In other words, I'm shadowing the person. We're not coaching their shadow per se. I'm their shadow. I'm in the background. They introduced me in the meetings as his executive leadership coach, and so everything's above board. But when I'm watching this person, I might tell her or him when we debrief, so when you were up asking a question or leading the discussion about blank, did you feel urgent about that, or was it just important? I couldn't tell in your frame of speech if that was something that was urgent to get done or if it was just important. So we help them make distinctions between things like that. Watching the person, is he or she addressing what's coming forward, or are they avoiding? Like, in other words, is there an elephant in the room? And you as an observer can notice that. Are they open or resistant to criticism? Because that's where their shadow hides. So when someone made some point about their idea to get the committee moving forward, as an example, were they open and welcoming of the comments and opinions and thoughts, or were they resistant and immediately tried to go back to, you know, it's my way or the highway, by the way, I'm in charge of this. Did they look for opportunity or possibility? Is there acceptance or resistance? Those sorts of things. And so the whole concept of shadow coaching is that you'll do it for a day, sometimes two, but I've never done it for two. One's good enough. You get to meet them in their place of business. You get to see where and how they work. You get to see their desk. You get to notice how they interact with staff spontaneously. You get to see how they are, whether they're a member of a meeting or running the meeting. I've had great success with people that have loved that process. From a young man who's the son moving up the ladder in a trucking company, whose dad started the company and he promoted his son. Well, it wasn't a happy choice with a lot of the other employees. So, you know, we worked through that. And then I think what you're asking the client to do, I've even got a description of shadow coaching, is make the time, you know, blank out the time so that you will not only be busy and ready to receive my feedback, but that you don't get interrupted to the point where you say, I've got to go cross town, we'll meet back up at 2. No, that doesn't work. I was paid to come in for the day, and that's the day I'm going to be there, barring some national emergency, right? So that's shadow coaching. It's kind of a variation of a visioning retreat, but you're not really doing that. You're just observing their work style behavior in their where they work, in their place of employment. Comments about that?
Sounds wonderful.
It's another great way to sandwich the coaching. And again, it's just that's the way I bid it. It's if I'm going to work by phone and they're not going to want to fly me every month for in-person coaching, you can put it in your proposal why it's important to do a full day of that in the beginning and a full day in the end, followed by the coaching in between.
Got a question, Pat. You're doing that with a corporation. How does that work with your young man? But how does it work with, middle-class paying client? Not a group.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it had a place of employment, like if this, like, you know, that goes, that's more like a visioning retreat. I guess it could be in the workplace.
Actually, that computer, that printer on because the students.
Hello, we can hear you. Sorry. when I had a coach early in the process, I actually went to Connecticut to his office, and we did a full 3 days.
38.
Somebody's talking about your computer, and we can hear you. So push star 6, and I think you can mute yourself. We've got a pretty clean line, so I don't want to mute everybody. So I guess my answer to the question is, if you were doing it with an individual client, you might go observe. I mean, if he's a lawyer, you can go to the place of employment. If he's a State Farm agent or Allstate or something, you could go to the place of employment. If it's a home office business, you could say, let's spend a half day together getting to know each other with more depth and seeing how you actually work, like what goes on in the workplace, what are the regular tasks and the undone tasks and the frustrating tasks, so that you kind of get a sense of that. You can be as creative as you want. But the shadow coaching is really for somebody who's on a team or a administrative position where you can witness all their various duties.
Right. One last question for me is, I think the retreat is wonderful, but what if it's hard for you, coachees, to go on a retreat? I mean, is that a question of creativity and we'll go to a movie together?
No. No. If they can't do that, then you just do regular coaching, which is get started with like an hour to 90-minute first session so that you go in depth. You know, you go over the welcome packet and agreement forums and have them pre-fill out some things so that you do more than your typical 40 to 50-minute session. And really, it's a get-to-know-you session.
Right.
It's also a way for them to get to know you, how you work. And I mean, I'm assuming they've already hired you, of course. It's not the free session or the sample session.
Yeah.
Yeah, retreat is something you offer. It's not, I mean, a lot of people will take you up on it. A lot of people say, I can't afford that, or I can't get the time away, or, you know, but some people may say, oh, God, I'll come to Florida for a vacation, or I was going to do that anyway. Let me spend a day with you. My spouse can shop or go to whatever, and then we'll get back together.
Great idea.
And it's a business write-off.
Screw Uncle Sam.
All right. Any other questions, comments about using retreats, visioning boards, all those sorts of things, or shadow coaching? Okay. Well, I hope those of you on this call today and also those of you listening will give it some thought. And, you know, if you want to write me an email to ask any more about it, or if you're ever interested in being in a mentor group, I sometimes get enough 4 or 5 people where I can create one and we can work on all kinds of ideas together. So you can write me at pat@lifecoachtraining.com and watch for the other calls we have coming up. I enjoy doing these.
I had a great time. I thought it was great.
Thank you. You sound like you're right next door. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
all right. Thank you, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye.